Hello, everybody. Welcome back to I've Got a Bad Feeling About This, where the landings are always happy and the takes are always crappy. I'm your host, Bennett Buckles, here joined by Charles Hammaker and Omari Salisbury. Say hi, boys. What's that?
What in the world is that?
Oh my god, a new person. We got a special guest this week, everybody. Please, everybody, welcome Isabel Long to the I've Got a Bad Feeling About This podcast.
I didn't realize that when you said you were prepping a sound, the sound was for me.
Sound was for you. It was like a sitcom entrance.
I appreciate it.
It's like when the new character walks on and everyone's like, ooh.
Ooh, and that's why it sounded like a siren going off.
Well, okay, it was this, you know, I was Super Smash Bros.
Got you.
All right, you know what?
You know.
This podcast. Okay, all right,
scripted bits.
It's fine.
Honestly, you should go back to being mean funny. I think that was better for you.
A mean funny? I should go back to
like gang up on Bennett
sophomore year of high school and just be mean funny again? All right.
Yeah.
So this week, we actually had the pleasure for once. In the last two episodes, we did not have the pleasure, but this week we had the pleasure of watching Revenge of the Sith. Probably, I think it's unequivocally the best movie of the prequel trilogy. Not even close. So, that's great, and I think I forgot to text you guys what my questions were again this week. Charles and Omari, you're probably on board, but I forgot to tell Isabel. Hmm. But we're gonna do best character, worst character, what was it? That's it, I think. Best character, worst character, number rating.
Number rating in the Star Wars, and number rating as a movie overall.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for the reminder there. This movie to me, we can just get our preliminary thoughts out, this movie to me is probably the most nostalgic Star Wars movie because it is the Star Wars movie that I quote unquote grew up watching. It has a lot of that value to me, but also rewatching it ruined a lot of that for me because I forgot how irritating some of the characters were. And by some of the characters, I do mean Palpatine. I don't know why I had such a weirdly adverse reaction to him.
Why don't you like him?
He pisses me off so much in this movie, dude. Like, he, I guess it's intentional, and I know they want us to kind of not really like him because he's just so manipulative.
He's a little minx. He's there to mess things up.
Yeah. And I don't like how he does Anakin in this. And I'll get to that when I talk about my favorite character. We're doing a little reverse here. All right. So why don't we get to that? Let's be nice. We'll be good people. And we'll let our guests go first. Best character, Isabel?
Best character. I feel like maybe we're an opinion, but best character of this movie. Obviously, it's Anakin. It's Anakin Skywalker. It's his movie. All these other movies that are supposed to be about him, but are kind of just about other people doing stuff. This is his movie. And he's so good in it. You get to see the true tragedy of Anakin Skywalker, something that maybe you would think that this trilogy has been building up for three movies, but maybe it was just kind of this one. But I really like Anakin. I think he really fills the role of like a tragic hero, of watching him like he just wants his wife to live, and that's a pretty reasonable request, I think. And then it just goes horribly wrong for him, and he ends up killing his wife.
And I think I want to go next just because of the sole purpose that my favorite character this movie is also Anakin, which is funny because he was definitely in the running to be my least favorite character last movie, and I think was also in the running to be my least favorite character in the first movie. Just to think about this from a literary standpoint, the confusion and tension that Anakin goes throughout the entire film is really like, it's really significant from like a Bildungsroman point of view. Like, it's very coming of age in a couple ways where he's trying to like, there's like this tension between the good parts about him becoming an adult and the bad parts about him becoming an adult. And it kind of plays with the interplay of like dark and light throughout the entire film. And also just how much he's manipulated really like, it makes me feel bad for him as opposed to other films where I'm just annoyed by how much he's an idiot. Like, in episode 2, he's being really incel-y to Padme the entire time. He's like, the whole sand monologue, he's all, every moment away from you hurts or whatever. That kiss became a scar. I hope it doesn't become a scar. Just like the stupidest dialogue of it. I feel like George Lucas like refound his footing for a couple months when he was writing this movie. because I feel like Anakin, yeah, you're right, he does become the tragic hero that they've been setting him up to be.
Also, I do think that this movie, they seem more like a couple that is in together, love? Yeah.
Yeah, instead of just Anakin being a pursuing, creepy, moody teenager yeah. who's, like, glomping onto this political figure. That's not to say this movie didn't erase all the issues with Padme, because it really didn't. It kind of just sidestepped them.
Mm-hmm.
But it made Anakin a lot better, and in doing so, started to rectify some of those problems. And he's also just, you can understand where he's coming from a lot more now that he's had this vision of Padme dying, and it does really set up the tragedy of Darth Vader, because he's been so manipulated and so broken by the situations and circumstance around him. It's just like, it does turn him from a pretty two-dimensional character into a more in-depth character. And it makes me really excited for Kenobi, because if Hayden Christensen will be a part of that, I mean, obviously they wouldn't just put him in there for a nostalgic factor. They could have recast him, or they could have used James Earl Jones. So there must be something there that they're seeing. I don't know. That's for us to find out. Anyways, how about Omari Salisbury? What do you feel?
Favorite character. It's hard for me not to say Obi-Wan, but...
Obi-Wan's about to get the clean sweep from you, Doc.
I mean,
he's your favorite character in every movie. It's fine. It's it fine. Builds up it's every
movie.
And
like,
three.
If you think about it, it builds up in every movie on why you should like him. He's the only character right. that will show consistent attention throughout all three movies. The second one was that about him.
That is also true.
So it's just like, yeah. It's good character development that we see. Like, there's no at any point where you're like, man, Obi-Wan's no. I mean, there's points where Anakin's character development where you're like, fuck. So, I don't know. I feel like the way that you just see him grow just makes him my favorite character in every movie, just because of that. So not even just because of this movie alone, but just to see how his character develops through to this being like the final time we see him in the movies wise. He's about to get the clean sweep for me. Yeah, no. Yeah, no, I'll definitely
and
say it's Obi-Wan.
Chuck.
Yeah, no, I have to also go with Obi-Wan. I think Ewan McGregor does amazing work in this movie. And not to piggyback off of what Omari was talking about in the previous few movies, but I mean, it isn't like he kind of this totally different person, but you just see him mature and I liked his performance a little bit more than I did Hayden Christensen's. And, mm-hmm. I know Hayden Christensen gets a lot of hate for this, well, the prequels and previous. I think now more people like it more. I don't know if it's a nostalgia thing. But I don't know. Obi-Wan just sticks out for me, and I always remember the scene with Cody where they tell him to blast him on the big lizard. I was like, damn.
That was the saddest part of the movie, is when his big dog died.
Not the fact that your main character killed children. That's not
no. That's amusing.
Yeah,
meme moment.
The wow. fucking Master Master Skywalker. This
Walker. What are we going to do?
There's too many of them. And it just goes whomp, and it cuts to something else.
Horrible.
The small child takes a step back. It's like yeah, but...
and it's funny because I remember distinctly in fucking. The Empire.
X-rated,
I mean, we swear more on this show than I swear normally.
Wow.
But I remember in the Revenge of the Sith video game, you got to kill the kids. Like,
that's lit. I like
back
that.
When they did the Star Wars games.
That's realism.
You were just like allowed to. And I remember there's like a bunch of parts of this movie where I was like, I remember this from the Revenge of the Sith game, because this was the only movie they made a game dedicated to.
Because
I
it's so epic
the
and good.
The only movie they needed.
Exactly.
And like you look at, you just I just remember when the buzz droids got on Obi-Wan's ship. I was like, yeah, that was a bitch. Mm-hmm. That was a bitch to get through. I hated that.
I hated buzz
droids. Buzz droids in the Lego game, if I remember correctly, were. Particularly obnoxious as well.
That was I did have a flashback watching that opening scene. I was like, oh god.
it's a hard part. I think that's why certain parts stick out to me, is because in the Lego games or the other video games I was particularly miffed by those parts. Like, oh shit, I cannot get through this droid factory. I'm 7 years old.
Oh, Ben, yeah, I think we had a conversation when you told me you were watching episode 2 about how the droid factory scene is a better, Lego level.
I just, like, I keep thinking, like, Payne's not helping me with this, and, like, I can't. Yeah, I don't know. It just brings me back to my childhood and, like, playing video games with my family and just how much I'd be frustrated because I was 7 and, like, couldn't even hold a controller right. Mm-hmm. And I was just dying. Let's get to worst character then, shall we? Isabel, let's keep the continuity first.
I have a couple of notes that I wrote down that just say Yoda nothing character. Yoda sucks in this movie. Yoda's got a bunch of nonsense lines in this movie. I hate Yoda in this movie. He shows up, there's like the whole confession scene with Anakin where he's just completely unhelpful in every way. Because Anakin's like, I've got issues, but I don't really want to tell you what they're about because it's against the law. Like, I'm worried my wife is gonna die. I know I'm not supposed to have a wife, so I can't even tell my Jedi Master Priest about this. And then he goes to Palpatine. Palpatine's like, I can help you save your wife. So it's like, but Yoda just has so many lines that is just Yoda nonsense that isn't even good or helpful. And then he just goes to Kashyyyk for like half the movie. And I'm like, why are we here? What are we doing here? And he's like, Chewbacca, my friend. And I'm like, I miss you, I will. It's like, Chewie doesn't need to be here. This is a stupid scene. And then my least favorite scene of the entire movie, which is the Palpatine and Yoda fight.
Terrible.
Horribly done. So stupid. And Yoda gets his ass handed to him. And I'm like, you did nothing. And then Obi-Wan's like, I have these two babies. What do we do? And he's like, split them up. I don't know. I gotta go into hiding.
Exile, I must go. Failed, I have.
And then he just leaves. And I'm like, Yoda, why were you even in this movie? You did absolutely... There are several points where, like, someone will say something and it's like a subtle moment where the audience is supposed to be like, oh, that's what's happening. And then Yoda's like, in case you missed it, let me explain what this character's feeling to you. I just hate him. I hate him this
Anakin's
whole movie.
Anakin's like, I'm feeling weird and kind of interesting. And Yoda's like, oh, so you're being seduced by the dark side? Looks at the camera and's like, see? I think my least favorite character... And this is going to catch some flack. Uh-oh. And I have good reasoning for it. And it's because, honestly, most of the other characters in this movie were surprisingly tolerable. And it's got to be Palpatine. And listen, and this is why. Because the way George Lucas wrote this, and this is the only time you'll ever hear me fucking praise this man. Mm-hmm. But the way George Lucas wrote it is that Palpatine is so terrible to Anakin and so manipulative and so gaslighty and just, like, basically takes this upstanding young Jedi man who with flaws and ruins him until he becomes a monster cyborg man. And before anybody comes to the side of Darth Vader being like, well, he's cool. No, he's a murderer. He's a Jedi. Like, that's the thing you guys got to understand. Not you guys on the pod, but you guys who listen to the pod. Darth Vader's not cool. He kills people, a lot of them.
Whoa.
No, Chuck, he's a murderer. He's a genocidal.
Doesn't mean hey, man, cool. we're talking about Star Wars. Okay,
Rogue One is it's cool, but he also killed Tusken Raiders because they're Tusken Raiders. Like,
I don't know, Bennett. Are you the authority on cool? Like, to say he's not cool? No, that's why I'm not claiming he's cool or not.
I'm just, okay, well, let me get to my fucking point. The Emperor took a cool guy and turned him into a cool guy in bad armor who did bad thing until he did good thing. But the thing is, the good thing he did, which was kill the Emperor and get revenge and just, like, basically rectify the entire events of episode 3, all gets erased. It all gets erased. Because fucking Palpatine comes back and doesn't get killed by Anakin. So the fact that he basically kind of just gets away with all the terrible things he does in episode 1, 2, and 3, it really rubs me the wrong way rewatching this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, really rubs me the wrong way. And to think about, like, all the pain that, like, Darth Vader went through while he was Darth Vader, like, the actual physical pain and the emotional pain, how many times he was like, maybe I'll go good side, and then Emperor would just, like, beat him into submission. It's like, no, like, Anakin should have been the one to kill the Emperor, because that's how good writing works.
Doesn't he?
No, because he comes back and then...
Oh, I remember. I forgot the sequels existed for a hot second.
Yeah, you ought to. Yeah,
super forgot the sequels like, existed.
What is this word you use that you said is...
I was like, he gets thrown down a shaft.
Is that the one where they waste Finn?
Which is how he should have died. That is the one where they waste Finn. That's how it all ended. They killed him, and then there was this like cool little side adventure with this scavenger and her friend.
No, that's a different reality.
And then it just ended. It ended after Han Solo died. They didn't do anything else. Kind of sad.
They kind of just went home.
But yeah, that's my least favorite character. Omari, let's toss it over to you.
Honestly, yeah, I feel like every character did their role pretty well. I can't really be mad at Palpatine for like how he was. Hearing about Yoda, like actually, like when you pointed out like
he's
that,
very true.
You're very right. So I guess I agree with that. But when I was first watching it, when I was rewatching it this time around, honestly, I was like, there's no one I'm seeing right now where I'm like, fuck you. So I really don't have any like least favorite character for this one. You know, I feel like every character did their part pretty well for the story. But I don't know. I kind of like, to me personally, Anakin's kind of annoying, but I don't think that makes him a bad character. But it's just like, bro. Make up your fucking mind. Like, there's parts where I'm just like, bro. I'm like, is this really like, and then you just see him get manipulated. So I'm just sitting there like, are you fucking serious? I'm just like, why? So there's parts where I'm just like, Anakin, what the fuck? But yeah, I don't really see anyone as like a bad character.
Chuck.
Well, Yoda's like, even when I watched this movie when I was younger, I was like, damn. Because I always thought, you know, Yoda was always built up to be this, like,
badass.
Jesus Jedi.
Yeah. Jesus Jedi.
And then he gets Jesus Jedi little green man, you know, and then all of a sudden he gets completely clapped by our boy
Sheev. He does get his cheeks clapped by Sheev.
I was so disappointed. I was like, little green man, let me down.
I will tell you. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
No, I mean, he's a big disappointment for me in that movie. But... The way they used Padme in this movie was disappointing, because she goes from somebody who's essentially, she's an action hero and she's a senator, and then in this movie she's pregnant and she's basically just disregarded for most of the film, which is stupid, and then she dies of sadness. Oh,
right.
You know? I was like, in the first two movies, she's a senator, she's an action hero, she's what's the planet they're on in Attack of the Clones.
Geonosis?
Geonosis. I mean, she's in that scene, you know, and she's actually doing stuff, and then she's just pregnant in this movie. And it's just not, like, a bad thing to hold against her, but what I'm saying is she just becomes a plot device.
I think it's indicative of George Lucas's mismanagement of using women in film.
When would you say that he misused women in film?
Oh, let me think. Well, all I know is that you cannot wear a bra in space because it would choke you.
Choke you to death.
Yeah, that's how gravity works, Omari.
Oh, okay. Did not know that.
My special guest hate character, what is it? Least favorite character is a CT-57/11-9048. He's the fucker who shoots down Plo Koon.
he looked up the clock.
I hate him forever. I hope after that he immediately died of something. I don't know. Just like fell.
Oh.
Or something. Like fell over and just kind of fell off of a platform and died. I hate him. It was stupid. Anyways, let's talk about numerical ratings. I feel like to preface everybody's ratings. I feel like this movie... It can't be colored by the first two movies that precede it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Just like it can't be colored. I feel like it can't be colored by the movies that come after it either. But that's not how we've been doing this. But that's just my preface, because that affected how I rated it. So, with that being said, Isabel, go ahead.
Do you want my rating as a movie or as a Star Wars movie?
Why don't we hit both this time?
Star Wars movie? Like an 8.5. I really enjoyed this movie. I think it's so good in the plot of Star Wars. Like, I love seeing Anakin become Darth Vader, and there's a lot of good things in this movie. There's a lot of middle nothing nonsense that also happens. And so as a movie, like a 7, 6.57, because it's like, you know, it's not the like the beginning's really good, the ending's really good. The middle, there's a lot of nonsense happening, but some of that nonsense I enjoy, like Anakin being seduced to the dark side, I don't think is bad. Also, I told Bennett this earlier today, I was a little bit inebriated when I watched this movie yesterday, and so the middle part of the movie went by very, very quickly for me.
Amari, just like Google
inebriated. How do you pronounce it? I'm saying it seriously because I can't spell it.
Inebriated.
You'll get it when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's the definition of inebriated: formal, timorous,
drunk, intoxicated. Thank you. Wow. Okay, let's continue now.
All right, so my my Star Wars rating would probably, I think 8 is good. 8's good. I know I gave Attack of the Clones an 8, but that was a very bang bang rating. That was a very bang bang rating. So yeah. I'm going to knock that one down to a 7.
What the?
Maybe a 6.
That movie had an 8.
I don't know. We
need to have a talk.
Well, like, hey, listen. There are some parts of that movie that are better than I think we talk about. I think we don't appreciate parts of that movie that we should appreciate. The rest of the movie's pretty.
Give me one.
Geonosis.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That is
Kamino.
I mean, I hold that movie in regard over the first movie.
Geonosis and Kamino trilogy. I think that was that ties into my preface because I was coloring it so much with how terrible Phantom Menace is, that I think I forgot that the reason I like Attack of the Clones more is because there's more action in it. Like, Phantom Menace is a big nothing burger of a movie. Mm. Like, nothing happens. Nothing happens. Did you know that guy who flies the Naboo ship?
With a speeder.
The guy who flies the Naboo ship, Rick O'Lee, doesn't even die? I thought he died, because I just don't remember who he is. I was like, oh, they must have killed him. He must have blown up or something. He's alive.
Doesn't he get blown up in episode 2?
No, he's just there.
Oh,
he's
okay.
He's in the Vader comics. He's like, my name's Rick O'Lee. I loved Anakin Skywalker.
Wait a minute.
And I was like, wait, what? You're alive? Huh? And then Captain Typho is there too, and I was like, why? I don't remember any of you. Captain Panaka became a moth and died later on, but that's it's its own story.
Hmm.
But as a Star Wars movie, I give it an 8. As a movie, I think a 6 is warranted because, like Isabel said, that middle part is just whack. It's so boring. Because especially when you go away, whenever they cut away from Obi-Wan, I was like, oh, fuck, can we go back?
No.
Because it was like, oh, why don't you join me at an opera? And I'm like, why?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Why do we gotta go to a space opera? Like,
hey, we got a good meme out of it.
Okay, so actually, I'll tell you what. One of my notes is that scene is pretty good. I just thought it was funny to bring it there at a space opera.
It's a good scene. You get to learn about Darth Plagueis the Wise.
And Ian McDiarmid's a good actor. So when they focus on him being able to act, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is the noise he makes when he does that big spiral move questionable? Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty cool, though.
He goes, but it's an acting choice. That's and as like an Wookiee dying. Actor... As an actor, you want a fucking goat? You want a fucking goat? You want a go or something?
There's a lot of swearing on today's episode. Vibes.
Unmatched. I know.
Ben
I
is heated.
Dog. I'm scared. Mom. My.
Are you inebriated?
Not inebriated.
I said he's heated.
I do not partake. Now that we've all learned that word, I'm not. I do not partake. Yeah. Who is it next? Chuck. No. Wait. I lied. Amari.
Yay. Sorry, I got too excited. You guys know me. I love the prequels because they brought me the Clone Wars. So I'm gonna give it a 9.5.
Damn,
I highly enjoyed this movie. High. It's really high. I know.
That's really high.
Honestly,
that's the highest. That's what I'd give like Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Okay, but that's like different. It's me versus you, so just keep going.
I enjoy this movie more than a lot of the sequels. That's all I gotta say.
That's fair.
The sequel's really good.
I don't know if I do, but that's fair.
I definitely enjoy it a lot more. So yeah, no, I give it a solid 9.5 as a Star Wars movie, just because of it kind of made all the first two movies kind of worth it. Like, sure. it brought a good conclusion to that. So, you know, and those were, that's like a bad place. Like, you, they started at the bottom. So the fact that he was able to fix that, wrap that up, nice job. Props for that. And then obviously, you know, it brought us to Clone Wars. So I really messed with that too. But so I like, just as a Star Wars movie, what it like, it's the final setup to like this whole generation of Star Wars that we're looking at, like the expanded universe that we're looking at. This was like the final setup for that expanded universe. So I really mess with that, because we low-key got a lot from this, from the first three movies, like episode 1 through 3. We got a lot expanded universe wise from these first three movies. So yeah, as a Star Wars movie, I give it a 9.5, because I feel like it's highly enjoyable in the context of Star Wars, but also it does a lot of setup, so definitely extra points for that. But I don't know, I feel like I'm the only person over here really be messing with the prequels. But as an overall movie, I definitely have to give it a 6. It's definitely not like, it's definitely not that good of a movie. Not that good of a movie. Especially compared to all the other movies I've been watching lately, I'm like, yeah, no, this shit was trash. But good Star Wars content. Mm-hmm. Shaky movie.
What say you, Chuck?
I'd have. I'm stuck between 8. I'll just do 8.7. There we go. I'll cut the difference. I was stuck between 8.5 and 9. I do. Amari brings up some solid points, and there are solid points made all around in this, except for Bennett and his love for the opera scene. I think that scene's a little bizarre, made me uncomfortable. There's the weird thing going on in the middle of the center.
The Cirque du Soleil they're watching.
Yeah. Isn't George Lucas in there somewhere?
In the Cirque du Soleil, or just in the room?
He's in the room somewhere. He's a blue guy.
Interesting.
Anyway, sorry.
I'm not going to rewatch this movie just to see Lucas as a blue guy. I mean, yeah, it was a pretty good Star Wars movie, and I mean, it's high and above the other two. Do with that information what you will, react to it however you want, but, you know, it'd have to be in my, I think it'd be in my top three.
Sure.
In total Star Wars movies.
Oh, wow, hold on, really? Because you do know there's three original trilogy movies.
One of them is not that good. A New Hope is solid. But A New Hope I'm not going to say it's not groundbreaking. It's not like blow me away cool. It's like, okay, here's an introductory movie for these guys. Pretty cool, blah, blah, blah. Empire's where it's at. Okay. I'll hold, there should have been Revenge of the Jedi, but they had to change the title to Return of the Jedi. I like that movie better than A New Hope.
What?
So,
okay.
Yes.
Chuck, we'll I think that. You're a little bit of an insane I like that person. Movie better than we'll A New Hope. I think we'll you're just a little bit insane.
That is a little bit insane, but
I agree with you, Chuck.
Keep going, Chuck.
I agree with you, Chuck.
What? Okay. All right.
We are split here. Hey, we have to go over that those movies.
We can gang up on Bennett when we watch those movies. It's okay.
No, I'll get my dad with me. You'll be done for.
Okay, but then depending on who we have, if it's you and your dad, then it's me and Amari. So it's 2v2.
Nah, his dad's a really that's an intellectual right there, man.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Intellectual power. Anyway, movie overall, though, I think we're all gonna stick with the 6.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the 6. I mean, it's
that's
solid,
two sixes. But... That's 4 sixes. That's 2 66s. Nice. Nice.
66. Hey, watch it.
Whoa. What? That's some devil.
Yeah, we went to Odeon.
Whoa. Whoa. I said.
And I think. We can, the last thing I really want to talk about Revenge of the Sith is just about how much I don't remember who it was, one of you guys said it. It's such a satisfying conclusion to the prequel trilogy.
It is.
Which is not something we got from the sequel trilogy.
Like, not satisfying in any way.
Not at all.
Anakin's lightsaber in this.
Like, okay, that was like an okay scene. I think it's fine. Like, it's not.
What's your name?
And I think the Rey Skywalker thing is actually like
Rey Skywalker.
It's not as bad as what other people say it is. I think it's cool. It is just fine. Like, if I were to give a one-word rating to Rise of Skywalker, I think I'd say the word fine.
Shitty. Oh, fuck. Man.
That's what I'd say for episode 8. Words.
You're right. You're right.
So, but this movie, like, weirdly enough, even though it's kind of just like a, and see, this is where we're going next. You remember episode 4? Dropping off... What's his butt? Luke.
Wow, nice. Oh, boy.
What's his butt?
What's his butt?
What's his bucket?
The main character.
Oh, God. What's his name? That guy? He, like, walks? And bringing him...
He walks?
On the sky.
Bringing him to Uncle Owen and Miguel? Suspiciously hot Aunt Beru.
Whoa.
She's got a husband.
Yeah, let's keep it PG on here, Ben.
That's not...
I think we're too late.
Pretty far gone from there. But that was such a good conclusion to the movie, and to like have him step like hold Luke with the twin sons.
He does the pose.
He does the Luke pose, and like Obi-Wan smiles a little bit and puts his hood on and goes back to his weird Tatooine camel. I think that's what happened. I don't know. And we get to see Alderaan, and Alderaan actually looks really sick. It looks like a fun place to live. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad happens to them. And then we get like the really cool scene that I always forget about, where Vader walks up and does the belt pose. He crosses his arms next to the Emperor, and that final shot of panning back from them looking at the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a real, like, hey, I don't think George Lucas did the cinematography of that scene, because it was low-key really good.
Oh,
I am telling you, George, you said these things.
Yes, we will text him later.
Actually, I really do know how to make film.
Cinematography in Star Wars is always good.
Yeah, there's always some moments in Star Wars where you're like, somebody said, George, I got this great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, well, all right, we'll run with it. And I just think that the conclusion was so satisfying. I think that's really why it manipulates how high I rate this movie compared to like episode 1 or maybe episode 8. Does anybody else have any final thoughts on our beautiful movie Revenge of the Sith?
I have one small thing about Hayden Christensen specifically, which is that they actually let him be the physical actor for Vader at the end of the movie. Like, he got to wear Vader's outfit. And his physicality as Vader is so good. Like, Bennett, you're saying, like, when he walks up and he crosses his arms, it's just, it like literally sends like a chill down my spine. It's like, that is Darth Vader, and I think it's very cool of them to like that they gave Hayden Christensen like the honor, like, you did play Darth Vader, and so it's like we are going to let you play Darth Vader in this movie, especially since you know, maybe your character hasn't been the best for the two movies you've been playing him. Maybe that first movie was very the first movie Hayden was in was very painful to watch. Just every line he said was just
terrible.
Horrible.
You could tell. Yeah, you know, there's this thing you get when you become an actor, you know, as I have become an actor.
Anything's an actor.
It's the bullshit-ometer, where you just are saying lines and you're like, that's bullshit, why am I saying that?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says this. And Hayden Christensen, you can tell his bullshit-ometer is through the roof. He's like, and that kiss, I hope it doesn't become a scar. And on the inside, he's like, they're, like, barely paying me enough for this. But I will say that his physicality of Darth Vader is perfect. Even when he breaks out of the little chain things and says, no, whatever, I like that scene. Fight. Mm-hmm.
I do, too.
That is such a cool scene. And also, when he is Vader out of the suit, like, when he's just Vader Anakin, and he kills all the Senate, or not the Senate, the Separatists. That is a cool scene. He absolutely just fucking pops off. Like, and
so, wait a minute. So, you like that scene?
Yeah.
Okay. But you say that Darth Vader isn't cool because he kills people.
Those guys deserved it, Chuck.
Who gets to decide who deserves to live or die?
No, Chuck. They deserve. Yeah, oh! Chuck, they were slavers. They kind of deserved.
Oh, whoa.
They were slavers and drug dealers, and I guess drug dealers probably wouldn't really deserve it. But they were like
spice. Man, Raiders. Fuck them kids.
Darth Vader's cool. You're not changing. My Fuck them kids. I think Darth Vader's cool. And you're not changing my mind. All right.
There's that one scene when Bail Organa shows up and he's like, I don't know what's happening, and the clones are like, sir, we need you to leave, and he's like, okay, and that one kid jumps out and just gets brutally murdered.
Zet Jukasa, baby!
X Games
mode. Zet Jukasa, I thought, would have been a very cool Kanan Jarrus. I thought, maybe that's, I don't know, at some point, I thought that. I was like, what if he lived and he was Kanan Jarrus? But then he was like, no, his name's Caleb Dumas or whatever his name is.
Also, isn't he like George Lucas's kid, like the actor who plays him?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure it's George Lucas's kid that he...
Hey, son, you want to play?
You want to play something?
You want to die today? I feel like that's what he said. You want to die today? I'm like, what, Dad?
Okay, Dad.
Now that I'm thinking about it, Bail Organa did more than Yoda. Like
he was his getaway driver.
Like he said,
I gotta get out of here.
He was like, into exile must go. Bail Organa, I was probably like, I mean, if you fucking say so, but like,
you sure
shouldn't
did,
we like... do something first?
I also love when Bail Organa just like, they're like, what do we do with the kids? And Bail Organa's like, you know, my wife and I have always wanted a daughter. If you know, no one's gonna say anything.
It's like they're splitting up like the last two donuts. You're like, oh, sure, I'll take one. It's like, oh yeah, I'll just casually have a child.
It has that big energy of like, well, if no one else is gonna take it,
no one else is gonna take it. I guess.
Twist my arm. My wife and I have been wanting a jelly filled for quite some time. And they're like, what about the maple bar? And he's like, put him on the desert planet.
It's like, yeah, screw that kid. Okay.
My
wife specifically said, don't come home.
Don't come home with a boy. Put the boy on the desert planet where Vader will definitely find him because, you know, oh, I don't know, he lived there.
He would never go back. A perfect plan.
And what does he do in the Vader comic the second after he meets Luke Skywalker? He goes right back to Tatooine and
says, we're going on
barely misses him.
We're going on a trip in my head.
Okay, well, that's about enough of Revenge of the Sith. Thank you so much, Isabel, for coming on to the podcast. It was a pleasure having you.
Of course, thank you for having me. I was very excited to come on.
Wait,
big fan of the podcast.
Yeah, longtime fan, friend of the show.
Wait, quick question. So, like, who's your favorite out of the three hosts? Like, who's the funniest? Like, who?
This is the funniest.
I really don't like that question. Isabel, you can leave before you answer.
Oh, leave.
You
can answer. I talk to Bennett almost every single day.
Wow. So you don't want to.
We do have news. No, we're not ending the podcast. We're ending the Revenge of the Sith segment.
I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, we got some time.
Skipping.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about Star Wars news.
She's here for, no, she gets her pod. She gets her Star Wars news from us.
Exactly. Listen to the pod for Star Wars news.
Exactly. Okay, bet. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, again,
thank you for being our first guest. Yeah, no, this is dope.
Thank you for having me.
Big round of applause.
Woo!
Thank you.
I was the only one clapping.
I was clapping. All right. Bye, Isabel.
I forgot to clap. And Star Wars news.
So, Star Wars news, yeah, this is the part where we talk about Star Wars news. We got actually a couple of cool things going on right now. First off, as Chuck mentioned, we got a release date for The Bad Batch, and this is like the first, you guys have no idea how relieved I was seeing this when I woke up, what was it, today? I was like, oh, thank God, we finally got a fucking crumb of Star Wars news.
A crumb.
We finally got just the tiniest.
Please, George Lucas, a crumb.
Please feed us, Mr. Lucas.
Here you go.
And he said, alright, I'll give you one crumb.
So greedy.
So yeah, Bad Batch is releasing May the 4th, 2021.
May the 4th be with you.
Oh my god.
Exactly.
So I mean, I just live long and prosper.
Did you also realize that's an exact year after the Clone Wars ended?
Now I'm gonna think about sad.
So May 4th, 2020. was
that one scene with the sad music at the end of the
Clone. I will say,
wait,
like the Clone Wars or the Clone Wars? Haven't seen the final that. Season?
Well, I know the Clone Wars, the final season. That's when, isn't it? When Vader picks up the lightsaber and turns it on.
Yes, yeah. But you haven't seen it.
No, I haven't watched.
That is a sin.
I'm sorry.
Then it's a fake Star Wars fan.
It's a good
season.
In other news, so yeah, Bad Batch is coming out. They really haven't announced much story-wise, but as we kind of talked about a little bit before in our big Star Wars news dump episode, we know it's about... Fennec Shand will be in there. Yeah, we know Fennec Shand will be in there. We also know that...
Oh.
What did you call her? Shedek Fan? But we know that the Bad Batch, since they're, like, defected clones, I think they don't have the inhibitor chips.
Ooh.
So it's them being... mercenaries during the Galactic Civil War. So that's pretty rad.
That's interesting. That's actually a really fantastic. Yeah, that's a dope plot.
Do we?
Bro, they just figure out a way to come up with more stuff. Like, they just don't miss.
We'll probably be doing episode by episode reviews for that show. So look out for that. That's a 2-3 months away. So be ready for that. And in those 3 months, of course, we'll still have more content coming out for you guys. We're still going to be on this 2-week schedule. And another piece of news coming out just recently, they announced a PS5 and Nintendo Switch re-release?
Remake?
Yeah, re-release and of Republic Commando, by far and away one of the best Star Wars video games of all time. It will stay Legends, I believe, once it gets re-released, which is a shame because I wish it would become canon because it's a fantastic story arc. But it'll just be nice to see those boys out there again. The books about the Republic Commandos are also fantastic. So if you're into some Legends literature, go check that out.
Should we do a playthrough?
There's also perhaps we'll do a playthrough. By the time that comes out, if we have like enough people caring, we could diversify our content a little bit and do some video playthroughs of that.
And talk about Marvel. Sorry.
Nope. I actually got three people texted me about that. Like, three people texted me about the issues of us talking about Marvel. Because, first off, Isabel texted us about that because we spoiled some shit, Amari, and she was like, I have not watched a single episode of this show. And I was like, oh, I did not think about that.
Ooh. Well, to be fair.
So no WandaVision talk this episode?
Well, some people... Okay, to be fair, I will also point this out. Some people wait until every single episode is out.
Couldn't be me. Yeah, I understand it, though. I understand
Another piece of news...
I like the way they release these episodes.
I do, too.
Anyway.
We have more news, though. Yes. Another piece of news is Star Wars Hunters is coming out. I believe it's a free-to-play action game coming out from Zynga in coordination with Lucasfilm Games. So Zynga, if you guys aren't familiar with that word, it's the people who make Words with Friends. Which is just
interesting.
It's a weird conundrum, and it's apparently a squad-based arena combat game, much in the vein of Overwatch or Heroes, not Heroes of the Storm. Amar, what's that janky ass Overwatch you play?
But Paladins?
Oh, Paladins of the Realm.
It was a phase.
Amari was ranked like top 10% of the planet playing that game as I don't even like knockoff Reinhardt.
Hey, bro, it's the only game I've ever been ranked.
I want to say Fernando.
Yes.
Fernando.
And. So that's their next game. They also have a couple of comic books coming out. And so in between last week's episode and this week's episode, I read so many Star Wars comics. I got caught up on Star Wars Bounty Hunters, Star Wars Vader 2020, which is the new run. And I started to get caught up on Dr. Aphra. I'll tell you guys right now, if you're looking for Star Wars content and you're like clamoring for it, absolutely 100%. Watch or read these comics, especially if you're already into comic books. It's like, first off, the Vader comic is really good, and it kind of gets into how scary Vader is, and also really develops a character from episode 9 that we saw literally none of. Ochi. That's not a spoiler. Ochi the Sith Assassin is in Vader, and he's very funny. He's kind of like Star Wars Deadpool. He's very quippy. Maybe more like Star Wars Taskmaster. If you like Punisher comics, or if you like Cable comics, read Star Wars Bounty Hunter. The main character of that right now is a guy named Baylert Valance from like the old canon, and they just revitalized him into the new canon. He's fantastic. And Boba Fett's in it. And these are all culminating, and the reason I talk about this, these are all culminating in a new Star Wars comic book arc that is shared between each of the main ongoing lines. So Star Wars, Bounty Hunters, Aphra, and Vader are all convening on this Boba Fett story arc about all the bounty hunters
trying to kill...
Yeah, they're having an event.
Like Secret Wars, like, or like smaller scale?
Probably smaller scale. I believe it's only going to be 12 issues. So something more low-key. But it's going to be good. I really enjoy all the writing of that. It's about Boba Fett trying to deliver Han Solo to Jabba the Hutt and being interdicted by a bunch of different people. So we'll see how it is. And I think there's not a lot of Star Wars news other than those things. Am I missing anything?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, The Mandalorian got nominated for just about every Golden Globe there is.
Obviously.
So.
Not because of Gina, though.
Timothy Oliphant will win all the awards.
Mm.
What'd you say?
Hashtag replace Gina Carano with Don Cheadle.
Mm, I like that. Is that a real narrative?
You know what's funny? Omari was on that.
That's a
not a real narrative, but it was a joke.
But it's a real petition.
And Omari was on that train like 2 weeks ago when we talked about how if they recasted Gina Carano, there'd be nothing of that caliber. And Omari was like, well, they did it with Terrence Howard. And I was like, oh, you know what? That's a good point. It worked perfectly. I didn't think about that.
It worked perfectly.
So what I'm saying is Don Cheadle. No news about The Mandalorian. No news about The Book of Boba. No news about Obi-Wan. that'd be fine.
I'm looking for this.
Does he want that, though? So, I mean, he's still doing...
He can do what he wants,
honestly. Exactly. Oh, yeah, we have that director question, Omari.
Oh, shoot. Yes.
I also forgot to look into that. Oh shit!
All right, next week.
Someone should go through and count how many times Omari Bennett swears in this.
I know
episode.
It'll be a bad counter.
Someone should count. Someone should go back.
Yeah, Omari sweared not at all though. So I appreciate that. But the question is, if you guys have any dream director for a Star Wars movie?
Nope, I didn't hear anything.
The Star Wars movie and the new whatever the next trilogy is gonna be. Who would you want to be that director?
That hasn't already done or is working on it.
No, like a completely new director.
Because my answer would have been Taika Waititi if he wasn't already directing Star Wars.
But he's already doing. Oh, you mean dream director, aka Rian Johnson?
Now that I think about it, though, Johnson. I do enjoy.
Oh wait, doesn't he still get 3 movies?
He does. I hope not.
I thought he does.
I think.
Is that technically news? Because I thought I read that he's still getting those 3.
Like, I think it is, but didn't we talk about that?
We might have. I don't know. I'm just disappointed in that. I don't know. We'll see. He gets his own stuff to play with, so it might be not bad. But
yeah, I don't think he'll do bad once he has full complete control over a project.
My director, I think, is... And I know this is kind of crappy because it is just another white guy director... I would like John Watts to tackle a Star Wars. He did the first 2 Spider-Men. He's doing the 3rd one. He's doing Fantastic Four. I think his charm and his wit, he could pull off, and here's what I'm hoping for, he could pull off a solo sequel. I think he'd be a perfect fit for a solo sequel. So if they ever do a solo sequel, they should hit him up.
Darth Vader. I mean, Darth Maul.
Darth Maul, like, shows up for no reason. Now people are saying that Ray Park is going to come back as Darth Maul for Kenobi, but there's reasons I don't believe in that. I don't think there's any other. Yeah, this is all the news, I think. Let's do a check-in, though. Let's do one more check-in before we're done with all our talking for the day. After the last couple weeks and after watching these movies, does it change what you're most hyped for coming up? And if I remember back to the original answers, Omari, your answer was Bad Batch, and Chuck and I both said Kenobi.
I mean,
no, I wouldn't change anything.
Actually, no, this kind of makes me more excited for Kenobi, just because I've been seeing so much of him now. But really, I'm just more excited for just to see the expanded universe as a whole. You know, that's really, dang, I dropped my headphone. My favorite part of the universe is the expanded universe. Like, I'm not really tired. Like, I never really had interest in the main, like, storyline, the whole Skywalker saga. But everything that branches out from it really just intrigues me. So.
I wouldn't say anything change, like, priority-wise. But, you know, since we've, like, had time to digest it's been a while, since The Mandalorian season 2 ended. I'm really interested to see what they do with Book of Boba Fett. That should be pretty cool. Because Temuera Morrison's such a badass.
He is a badass, and he,
like... he's so cool. And, like, he seems like a big man-child, too, just reading about how he's so excited to get back. That was so cool. But yeah, I think... Kenobi series is definitely my top, but Book of Boba Fett should be pretty cool.
I think if anything, this rewatch has like deepened how much I'm excited for Kenobi, just because, like, holy shit, the dude's really cool. I mean, he's like, to see him fight Anakin, it's refreshing, because in the entire prequel trilogy, aside from the Maul fight, every fight he's in, he loses. Except for Grievous. Like, he gets his butt worked, and then something falls on him. And then he can't fight anymore. And it's like, to see him go off against Anakin, it made me really excited for Kenobi, because I hope we get more of that Kenobi, you know what I mean? More of, like... the master swordsman, the master negotiator, the not-so-master pilot. I hope they make jokes about how he can't fly a spaceship very well. It just gets me so excited for Kenobi, and not only just the Kenobi side of it, but the Vader side of it, too. So I think, like you said, Chuck, my priorities haven't changed. They've only deepened. I'm really excited for Kenobi now. And I don't think this rewatch really changed anything about Bad Batch for me, because those characters aren't really involved in Bad Batch very much. It did make me have a greater appreciation for the Clone Wars, though. Because we got to see characters like Plo Koon, Kit Fisto, and Isla Sakura, Adi Gallion, just like all the different Jedi. We really got to see them be more... contributive to the plot. So yeah, that's what this movie did for me. So I think that's all the time we have for this week, folks. Thank you all for tuning in. It's been a fantastic episode. We knocked our first guest appearance out, and hey, we're at 10. We're at the big 10, so that's pretty cool. Our episodes are into double digits, and
I didn't even notice.
That's a pretty big achievement, right?
Yeah.
That's and we will hope to see you when we hit 3 digits, if that ever happens, which it should.
When the Ryan Johnson,
trilogy drops.
And we praise him as God.
And we all make a effigy of him and send it up to the heavens into the Heaviside layer. So thank you all for listening. This has been I Have a Bad Feeling About This. Or I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. And let's toss it over to Omari for the outro.
You kind of did have it. No,
I just said the outro.
Yeah. I did have it. So we'll just see y'all in 2 weeks. Yeah, I don't even know what to say no more. You really threw me off.
I know. I really jacked it up. Come on. Can we just forget that we did that? Omari with the outro.
Just cut it out in the middle.
And this has been another episode of I Have a Bad Feeling About This. I'm your host, Omari Salisbury.
And Charles Hamburger.
With Bennett Buckles. Thank you
for listening so much. Oh, are you... We said it. We said it, Omar. Your internet glitch.
You said it, man.
Oh, my God. This is the worst outro we've ever done. All right, I'm cutting it out. I'm cutting the episode.
No.